Blog Talk Radio.
Damn cheap ass Blog Talk Radio piece of crap. Oh, sorry. We on the air now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have my partner, the Vice President, the second string quarterback, the catcher, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
His name is Sean Black.
Yes, I am here in the building once again.
Of course. Why have you noticed that people have been demanding for our sports show, and we will try our best to give you something almost every week for the time being?
Yes, we will try.
I'm honored and grateful and thankful on behalf of Sean and I that you listen to our sports show. We try to tell like it is, like that our other show Monday night, but on the sports side of things with some topics that's involved. The sports show also. And also I have on the phone line, he is the most bitter Mets fan I ever met in my life. His name is Phil the Fishman Fisher.
Hello, boys.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, let's see. Number one, the Rangers lost to the Islanders tonight, so I'm putting up with the gloating nincompoop of an Islander fan.
Yeah, I watched the game beforehand, and I was like, oh, well, that'll go good with the Knicks game, which
Well, first of all, Sean, the final score should have been 4-3 because that was not a distinct kicking motion on when the game should have originally been tied.
That's
so once
true.
Again, inept officiating does it again.
Yeah. What's the point in having replay if you're not going to really use it? You know what I mean?
Correctly. And then let's see. I know Hot Rod's happy about the Yankees, and rightfully so. And
well,
it looks like...
Go ahead, Phil. You owe the score.
And right
go
now,
ahead, tell us the scores.
It is 9-1 Dodgers in the bottom of the seventh inning.
And
it
looks
like that one-year reign of the Cubs is going to be over with it at some point. So.
And whoever was watching the football game, Marshawn Lynch is an idiot, got kicked out of the game because he touched a referee because something – I missed it. All I know is I heard Lynch got kicked out of the game.
There,
but bumping
a
referee,
call.
He's another idiot.
Yeah, there was a call that was made. There was a scuffle between the two teams. Marshawn Lynch got off the bench, ran onto the field, tried to break the fight up, and in doing so, he shoved an official twice and was booted out of the game. So not only is he out of the game, but he left the building.
Well,
there
you know what? That is Marshall Lynch's fault if that's the case because, number one, you're on bench, and number two, you know the rules. You don't trust the official no matter what, right?
Correct.
So if he was in the field and was in the middle of things, maybe, but you came off the bench.
Yes.
Trying to be a superhero and came back and bite you in the ass.
And that's the problem because when you get off the bench, anything can happen, especially from – the home bench way to the other side of the field. That was a long jog that he had to make to get to the field to break it up. Now, although he had his mind was made up to try and be a peacemaker, you got to be a little more professional than that. And what makes it worse is that this is a close game. So if they need him, he's not going to be available.
Oh, well. Okay. Since we're in the midst of talking football, this past week, NFL owners and players had a meeting up in New York about everything that's going on in football today. It seems like we've been talking about football nonstop. And not funny, this is the first time we talk about something that happened on the field with drama. Now we're going to talk about drama that happened off the field.
Yes.
The point of this meeting is to address all the issues that's going on. So I'll start from the national anthem and basically the protest. So Sean Black, Phil Fisher. Starting with Sean Black, do you think this meeting between the owners and players, a.k.a., as Milton X would say it, the plantation owners with the plantation workers, you know, he will say something like that. Do Do you think this meeting was a good idea? Do you think any progress is happening? And do you think anything will be moving forward going on with this meetings?
I believe that there was some positive feedback from all that I've heard from at least two or three reporters and a couple of players that were in the meeting. It seems like that there was some kind of progress that was made. First of all, Roger Goodell, the NFL's commissioner, went and had a press conference after the meeting, basically to disclose what was talked about. And the NFL, at least at this time, although the commissioner has stated that the players, in his mind, should stand for the anthem, there is nothing on the books that's going to change the forcing players, if they so choose, to take a knee and protest, that there's going to be some sort of change in the rule. So at least from that sense, Goodell is basically saying, although we would love you to stand up for the national anthem and show unity for the anthem, we also don't want to take away your principal right to protest, because it's your right as a U.S. citizen to be able to do that. That's protected in your basic rights to be able to have a peaceful protest. Nobody's doing anything derogatory. And on top of that, the NFL seems like they want to hear the players and come to some kind of a solution where they can come to a way to help the players in their protest, so that they can now say, well, let's do something that will, one, keep the protests at bay, so to speak, but then at the same time, let's help out the charities, the causes, bring attention to some of the issues that the players are actually protesting for. So I think that's one of the things that they have to now work on, is like, here, we've made a concession. Now, what's the next step? And I think this is where the NFL and the players, who usually have so much animus towards each other between the players' union and the league, they seem to be starting to move towards some kind of positivity, somewhat. It's just a little bit of light down the tunnel, but it's not much, but it's something.
It's something, because this is like the first time something like this ever happened in the NFL between players and owners. And it was, let's be honest, there's some dislike with each other between the owners and the players, especially greed and money. So to Phil, the whole point of this meeting, let's be honest, who really started this meeting is Colin Kaepernick and the protests and the knee and all that other stuff. The players invite Kaepernick to come to the meeting, but at the same time, he's suing the NFL, you know, because basically he did not get his job back. Do you feel that Colin Kaepernick should have come to this meeting?
I think he should have. He's the one that started all this. I mean, if you are so concerned, if he is so concerned about, you know, getting a job playing football, he should have come to the meeting. He's the one that started all of this. And maybe if he would have come to the meeting, you know, maybe some of the teams that need a quarterback, a.k.a. the Packers, might say, okay, he's showing some concern, you know. Maybe there's a chance, you know, maybe we should sign him, because let's face it, the Packers do need a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is probably done for the year, and he is probably the best available out there.
Here's a funny thing, Phil. Half of the league needs a quarterback right now. And the problem is, those teams that need a quarterback never knocked on Colin Kaepernick's door. Kaepernick is complicit in this as well, in the sense that he had a couple of destinations that he could have landed, but because of extenuating circumstances, basically threw all of that away. He had the chance to sign in Baltimore. We've documented this before. Kaepernick's girlfriend went on Twitter and tweeted that the owner of the team, Steve Bisciotti, and Ray Lewis, formerly of the Ravens, basically were like a slave owner, and that was not the way to go if you're trying to look for a job with an NFL team, but they're actually thinking about signing you. Kaepernick in general, even if he went to this meeting, it wouldn't have made a difference because, let's be honest, all of these teams, owners, general managers, they did not want the drama following their team, even though we know Kaepernick is probably better than half these quarterbacks that are out there now, at least from
Absolutely.
A backup position. He could have been playing for any team right now. The problem
wow.
now goes into, do you want the drama? We don't know what Kaepernick looks like physically as far as on the field. We don't know where he's at as far as progression reading, fitness, cardiovascular training, et cetera, because teams haven't given him a look. Teams haven't given him a tryout. So they won't know football-wise what he can do. Do a whole host of good if he gave one press conference, if he showed up and spoke and said what he meant, show that he wants to play football again, but what he's doing now is he wants to play football, but he's going about it by suing the league to try to prove collusion. And that is a completely different animal right there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hold on. I'm about to choke right now because I can't believe I'm going to say this. I semi-agree with Sean Black. You may never hear this part from me again. I semi-agree that Kaepernick should not come to the meeting because you know what? Once again, we don't know the whole story. And maybe his lawyers advised him not to go because it might jeopardize his lawsuit. Because once again, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We're just going by what we hear from the quote-unquote press conference and quote-unquote the media. Maybe he did talk to some of them. We may never know. But you know what? The captain do his lawsuit. In the end, he still could get some type of money, I believe.
Oh, obviously.
And you know what? For him to show up to the meeting and I agree with Sean on this, it will take away to some degree of what the players are there for. It's like if everybody showed up, the Kaepernick come in, all the focus, because we all know the media, will be on Kaepernick. But technically speaking, he's the man who really started all of this. And Sean always said,
here's the thing. We have to figure out what the end game is here. Is the end game Kaepernick getting a job, or is it the end game making sure that the NFL actually brings light to the injustices that a lot of the players have been kneeling for in the first place to get the owners to acknowledge exactly what Kaepernick has been starting with the protests? So that's where the next step goes. And what was that?
No, the end game is figure out, as you stated in the text a few weeks ago, how to get the Ravens back up and not lose money. That's the end game. That's why they're having this meeting. It's all about
course.
The money. Because as you stated earlier, the NFL ratings for the games has dropped 7.5% compared to last year, and it dropped before that. So everybody's nervous right now. If it was not for the ratings drop, this meeting probably would have never happened. But Goodell had to do something. That's the only thing I give credit to this meeting for, guys, that, you know what, let's start talking. Like Sean said, the end results, what will happen? To be honest, I don't think anything will happen. But K-Dog is in the house. My question
hey, guys.
Is,
hey, what's going on?
Hey, a couple months, I remember on the show a few, maybe last year, Sean attacked Colin Kaepernick for not voting. And, you know, he made all this protest, all this noise, but he didn't vote in the election. As for the meeting, he did not come to the meeting. Do you agree with Colin Kaepernick or not?
Okay, for him not voting?
For him not coming to the meeting.
Hey, Phil, how you doing over there? Phil, is Phil there?
Hey, I'm here. How you doing, K-Dog?
Hey, doing well. Guys, listen. I felt that, yes, he should have showed up. Why he should have shown up? Because that way he would be able to speak up as to why he's protesting. Speak to the owners about it. You know, try to find a solution. That would be the best. That would work. And perhaps maybe it would put away the drama. I'm not sure. But in some way, if you believe in something, you got to speak up for it. And in the interest of fairness, he should have came to the meeting. He should have been there.
I've always been of the ilk, and I know that Kaepernick was invited to show up. I think in his mind, like to Hot Rod's point, maybe he was advised by his lawyers not to make the personal sojourn to the meeting. Kaepernick knows he has a groundswell of support for his cause. He knows he also has a lot of detractors who are going to be looking at him and some wondering, well, what are you? Why would you go there? You're just taking all of the attention off of the main purpose and you're putting it back on yourself. And I really, at the core of this entire argument, I don't think it has anything to do, as far as Kaepernick goes, with quote unquote getting his job by going to the meeting. I think what he wants to do is have the owners acknowledge what the protest was about instead of turning it into what it was turned into, where the narrative was completely changed by other outside forces that I won't name because we've talked about it ad nauseum millions of times. But the narrative of what the protests were about were completely changed into a different direction. So to focus it on what it was for, to maybe get the league to acknowledge something, and as I stated on Monday's show, perhaps maybe what they could do is get charity noting notable charities and maybe get something like what you see with the Susan G. Komen Foundation, what they do in October, which is usually Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
That's correct.
Something along those lines and work with other players and get charity notification and awareness towards being against racism, programs in inner cities to help people that are underprivileged. You know, they do things with children as far as like with Major League Baseball, and they have their RBI program, which gets kids in the inner city to playing baseball and having programs where they get kids get active. They can also do programs where they go into the inner cities and try to get underprivileged kids more athletically in tune, playing sports, football, going out to the local Y. They can do things like that. The NFL has outreach. They do have players that are socially conscious that can do these kinds of things. So they can go on that note and try to get it away from the protesting of the anthem, because as you stated, Hot Rod, the bottom line is the bottom line. And all of these protests, whether people like it or not but want to acknowledge it or not, in some instance is helping to degrade the ratings of the league. But there are other factors involved, you know. Like,
thank you. I was about to say.
Yeah.
I'm like,
flag
be referees. No. I believe part of it could be CTEs. But I think the main thing besides cabinet, we're in a different generation now of millennials. We watch games differently now. You know, I think that's a problem. But before, we're from the old age. We stay home, watch TV, or we go to a bar. Now, for example, I watch an ESPN on my phone, on my tablet. People, does that count as ratings? You know, people are not home like they used to be anymore.
Well,
so we don't know the major factor.
No, you're
that.
Right about that.
If they're able to get the Nielsen ratings, see, the main thing about watching any kind of television is that, is as you stated, it has evolved. And they now have to account people watching streaming services now to take into account where the ratings are going. The eyeballs are still there. It's not like they've left. They've just gone and migrated to a different format. So instead of sitting, like you said, at a bar and watching it at the bar, people are watching it on their phone. They're watching it on their tablet. You can stream it on, if you have a video game console, you can stream it and look at it on a video game console, or you can look at it on a computer.
Well,
anywhere you can
get your
eyeballs.
But there's a catch, though.
Yeah,
but there's a catch to it, though. There's a catch. But you still have to pay for it one way or the other. Like this year, my brother and I, we decided to get the package from DirecTV. Got it at a good low cost of $99. Thank you to the Direct.
Yes.
I'm serious. Loyalty, the DirecTV loyalty department. That's the only reason why we got it for like $99 this year. Because my brother, being he's the account holder, he opened up his mouth saying, "We've been with you for how many years?" And meanwhile, you get all these new people coming in, and you're giving them the package. Customer service said, "Call the loyalty department." That's what he did, and Sure enough. But the thing is, if you don't live in the market where your team is, like say perhaps, okay, I live in Virginia. The market down here is primarily for the Redskins. That means I would be, every Sunday, we'd be going to the bar every week to watch the game because that was the only way you could watch it.
Yeah, because of the way the NFL's rules are, is that if you're within, I believe, 75 miles of the home team, you can only watch the home team's games on your local broadcast. If you get if you get the streaming package, because there's many times where on a Sunday or if there's a game on, and I'm like, let's say you go to Atlantic City or you're in the area, New Jersey, anywhere near MetLife Stadium, you get a blackout if you're trying to look at, you know, the NFL package on your phone or wherever is the case. You won't be able to see that game. So there are those rules that they have.
But it's in all four major sports.
Yes.
It is in all four of the major sports.
It's just that sports in general, it's changed over the past few years. Like 20 years ago, you had to fight to, you know, run home and watch a game. But now these days, you could carry a game with you, especially on your phone. Technology has changed dramatically.
Yes.
And plus, also, you think about it, with millennials and everything, you could get your information or get breaking news or updates very fast. So you're in a meeting, you get that latest update of a game that's going on right now between the Dodgers and the Cubs right away. So do you really need to watch it? If you know the news already, if you know the update, compared to going home watching SportsCenter to wait to see what happened, you know?
I guess it depends on what kind of sports fan you are. If you want to watch the game, you're going to watch the game irregardless.
Absolutely.
But if you're one of those people that's just looking for the score or stats, then you do it in that rate. That route.
That's a millennial today, Sean. They rather go out and get brunch and get the updates and go into a bar and get rowdy with one of us and, you know, and watch the game. That's how millennials do things now for the most part.
Welcome to the 21st century. That's all I got to say, gentlemen. Welcome to the 21st century way of watching sports.
So I think that's one of the major reasons why the ratings are down. I'm like, I know everybody want to blame the protest. But
that's not the main reason. We know that.
People are not home watching TV. People don't stay at home to watch sports anymore. Like I said before, you could watch sports in any way, shape, or form. You could watch it when you're taking a walk outside. Walking your dog, or you sitting down at a bar. People do that, man. This is the 21st century, man.
Who would have thought that if you are an NFL fan and you were going to watch the Super Bowl, but you're not in the house because you have to walk the dog or you have to do something away from the house for half an hour, and you know you were going to miss a certain amount of the game. Who would have thought that you could be able to stream the game on your cell phone and go to the laundromat and watch the football game? Because they don't show repeats on over-the-air broadcast television of football games. It is only up until recently that the NFL Network actually starts to show repeats of their football games. This never happened up until within the last maybe 6 years or so. So that's how technology has completely changed the way people watch sports, the way they consume sports, and the way that they get their information from sports, either through every league, whether it's the NHL, basketball, the NFL. All of these leagues had their own apps and their own ways to be able to see whatever content you would like to see, or whatever package, how much you're going to pay, what tier, and do it that way. So there's many different options to be able to see what you want.
One thing we have is this thing called the Sports Pack through DirecTV, and you have all these sports networks from the out of market all over the country. But here's the thing, though. If you think you're going to watch the games on that channel, they're going to be blacked out because you have to order the other package, either it be MLB Extra Innings or NHL Center Right.
I think it depends on the sport, but because there's a lot of college games you can watch on all of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're getting, like,
that
all
is
of
true.
The rental packages all over the country.
And here's the thing. Now, SNY, the Mets Network, is a part of that sports pack. For me and my brother, it's great because if I want to see all the highlights from the New York area, Geico Sports Night, I'm seeing all the highlights. I don't have to watch. I don't have to wait and watch SportsCenter for an hour to see one or two Ranger highlights, and that's it. So that, from that standpoint, for me, it's worth it.
Okay. All right, let's go on to our next topic. It seems like the L.A. Dodgers is on their way to the World Series soon, and this will be the first time since 1988 that the Dodgers have been to the World Series. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That is a long time.
That's a long time.
Definitely a long time.
Okay. There's no secret. I'm a huge Yankee fan, but I'm not going to gloat because, like I told Sean, believe it or not, I don't gloat on these type of things. But Phil Fisher, do you rather see the Yankees or the Astros against the Dodgers in the World Series? And do you consider the Yankees a likable team now because they're the underdog and they're one win away to the World Series?
Well, here's the thing as far as the Yankees go. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing another New York LA. Makes it much fun. East versus West, NL versus AL. And here's the thing with what the Yankees have done. I mean, we all knew they were going to come back and win these games in the Bronx. And yesterday, they got to one of Houston's top pitchers. They finally solved this Dallas Keuchel guy that's been killing you guys for the last how many games? So now
tomorrow night is Justin Verlander.
It's Verlander. Now,
yeah,
the Yankees have listen, if the Yankees can score one or some runs off of him early, then yes, they have the chance to do this. And right now, from the way I'm seeing things, you've already beaten one of their number one guys. Now if they could beat Justin Verlander, the Yankees could possibly win this whole thing because nobody's giving them a chance.
And I think that's what made this story incredible, that no one, even myself, a big Yankee fan, did not expect this. So like I told Sean earlier, if the Yankees do win and go to the World Series, I'm happy with that because just like your Mets a few years ago, you did not expect the Mets to make it to the World Series. So you take what you could get, you know.
Oh, of course. Listen, a couple of years ago, people thought I was crazy when I said the Mets would be competitive in that 2015 season when I saw that Matt Harvey was coming back at the time, and we did have some offense before the injuries happened. We had some great offense, and sure enough, I didn't expect for the Mets to get to the World Series. I didn't. Nor did I expect them to win the division. I thought they were going to just compete for that wild card spot, and once they made that trade that brought Kelly Johnson and who was the other guy in the trade? God, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sean, do you remember who the other guy on the trade was?
I know what you're talking about. It completely slipped my mind. I know,
yeah,
it basically helped right the ship with the team.
Okay,
it changed the whole thing in the clubhouse.
Can we go back talking about the Yankees and the Dodgers and everything? Not the past, please, guys.
I just got to make one point. And Rodney, I know you have Facebook. I am getting sick of all these Met fans and some of these groups complaining about Justin Turner. Because when he was with the Mets, he really didn't play like this. What I think a lot of these fans don't realize is Justin Turner had to go back to the minors, got signed to a minor league contract, and had to redo his whole game. And he's been a big part of the Dodgers' offense.
And sometimes you have to go back. Sometimes you have to go back to move forward in life. And that's
correct.
What he did.
Right.
You know? So, Sean,
mm-hmm.
I know you're not a Yankee hater.
No.
You see the Yankees taking it tomorrow and going to the next level against the Dodgers?
The only way that they do that, I think it's going to go seven because the Yankees have to solve Justin Verlander. And we saw in game two that one run, five hit, 13 strikeout deal that he did, that that is what you have to deal with in Game 6. If you can solve Verlander and you can get a couple of to chip a couple of runs here and there, if you're able to do that, then you're going to have yourself a, I won't say an easy time, because I think the Astros having to play in New York, weather change, distance,
right,
that plays a huge factor. And
the
playing
and the
in
crowd.
Houston,
the crowd, definitely.
I watched that last game, and the crowd, I never thought I would hear myself say this, but this particular crowd sounded louder, old Yankee Stadium. And the old Yankee Stadium was really loud when the team was winning, especially in the postseason.
Yes,
so
they did.
The way that the team is built and the way that they've gotten this communal connection with their fans, that helped them over the hump. Now that potentially the Yankees won't be playing again in Yankee Stadium unless they win this series in Houston, they're going to have to find out how to solve Verlander. They got Lou Severino, the young arm. He's going to be pitching. We'll find out what happens with that. But I think that it's going to be a real interesting matchup between those two. If they can solve Verlander, they'll win the series.
But you know what? All I got to say is this. If it comes down to the Yankees and the Dodgers, this is going to be a classic game, because I was talking about that today with a coworker of mine, and he said the same thing. He said, wow, we haven't seen the Yankees face the Dodgers in so long. And so
I think that's why the network would be praying for something like this, because this will be a good rating grabber if we have the Yankees versus the Dodgers.
It will be a good rating.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Yankees and the Dodgers did face each other in the World Series, I think in the early 80s.
The Dodgers won that in 81.
And if I'm correct, wasn't that the year before Don Mattingly made his debut?
I believe so.
It could be. But I just want to say this. The thing about these Yankees, and I think that's what makes it so suspense right now, they cannot say that this team was bought compared to the gold era when the boss bought all the Yankees players out there and built the team. This is one of the rare times that they started from scratch with young players.
Well, if you think about it, those 90s teams that they did, they built a lot of that team through their farm system also.
Farm system,
Jeter,
correct.
They had a lot of young guys. They had a couple, obviously they had Boggs and a couple of other veterans in Wetland. But they did build that team through their farm system. And when they brought the young guys up, Jeter and Rivera, and those guys were ready, then they grew into the veterans that became the nucleus of that team, and then Posada, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the same kind of formula that worked back then is working now. I think what the misnomer is with the Yankees is the fact that when the young guys became the core of the team, then Steinbrenner actually started spending to put pieces around them and make them better, as opposed to just buying a bunch of players and throwing them on the team.
That started 3 years before. Remember when Steinbrenner got suspended and Gene Michael took over the reins? And he brought in Wade Boggs, he brought in Jimmy Key, and probably made one of the best trades, I guess, in my lifetime in Yankee history, when he traded Roberto Kelly to Cincinnati for Paul O'Neill.
Yes.
That started back in 93,
right.
and then everything started to piece itself together. And by the way, it's 11-1 Dodgers in the top of the ninth.
Okay, it's over.
Yep.
But they should be happy. They at least won the World Series in 10 years or so, I don't remember.
It was 108.
It was over 100 years.
Well,
but even more so, they're still a young team. They're going to be back
fantastic.
In the same position next year. So,
do I feel sorry or feel bad for the Cubs? No. Move on. But K-Dog, your Chicago Bulls.
Don't get me started. Man,
well, first,
listen.
They lost 117-101 to Toronto Raptors. And
they were leading, but they dropped. They just dropped. The defense went to sleep. I mean, they were missing shots. It didn't look good. It really did not look good.
But what happened with the fight that happened among two teammates? A locker room fight or something?
Yeah, basically. Listen, there's the Bulls franchise has been going through it for a while now, and plus, this season is definitely not going to be a good season for the Chicago Bulls. Losing Butler, and of course losing Wade, and the problem started ever since they lost Derrick Rose. I mean, it's been going downhill ever since.
But y'all guys made it to the playoffs last year. We're doing Wade. Were you surprised that Dwayne Wade left after one season?
No surprise to me. No surprise. I knew he was going to Cleveland. He has to go play with his buddy LeBron James.
And he wants to win a championship before he calls it a career.
Mm-hmm.
And in Cleveland, he put himself in that position to do so.
Oh, I just remember the question I meant to ask Phil. Thank you for reminding me, because Sean and I, we have a huge argument about this. The NBA was considering lowering their games from, what, 82 games to whatever could be. Do you agree that the NBA should lower the number of games played?
I'll be honest. I could care less if they do or not. I mean, I'm so used to watching – you know, the 82 games and then the playoffs. I mean, why all of a sudden would they want to lower the amount of games?
Well,
is it to get more ratings?
You have to remember, 82 games and the wear and tear. The one thing that I've noticed about NBA as far as the commissioner and the league and their relationship with their Basketball Players Association, they seem to be a much better harmony when it comes to certain things. The season usually starts around Halloween. Usually we would have been talking about the season starting 2 weeks from now or a week and a half from now. But the season started 2 weeks earlier to accommodate the players. They also kind of reduced the back-to-back games so that they can reduce the wear and tear on certain players' bodies. And they also want to make sure that the marquee players play the games that are on television. And those are the kinds of things that the league is trying to do to kind of think about the rest of the fan base, as opposed to the stern way that the players are treated by the NFL and the NFL commissioners, and those that animosity that seems to be there between the owners and the players and the commissioner. It seems to be much different than the NBA. So I think that works for them as opposed to against them.
Well, Sean, okay, as an owner that I am, a greedy owner, of course, even though I'm black, I still could be a rich owner. You could be Michael Jordan. Of course.
Exactly.
Well, you guys want to play less games. If I agree to it, let's say we reduce it down to 75 games, do I have the right to pay you less since you're playing less games?
Well, as a percentage, if you're playing less games, you're going to see less money. So the Players Association would probably try to negotiate a little more money from the pot based on the fact that the games are more important because we're playing less of them.
Well,
but
once again,
if that's not going to happen.
Of course, but once again, if you're playing less games, that means there's less revenue coming to everybody else's pocket. So why should I pay you $78 million for 3 years if you're playing less games? That means there'll be less food revenue, less advertisement, less everything. So why should I spend more money to pay you if I'm getting less money coming back?
They're still going to make that money back in endorsements. They're going to make that money back, especially during the playoffs. The way the playoffs have always been, the playoffs is where
exactly.
It's almost the way network television does sweeps. They usually do after the first 6 weeks of the season, going into November, and then going into February and going into May. Those are the times that network television sets the prices for advertisers for their commercials and advertising. So you know that in those 6 weeks, in those time periods, that's when they're going to make their money. In the NBA, let's really be honest about it, outside of opening week, the first time that anybody really cares about basketball is around Christmas time. So if you're looking at – we've talked about this off-air for the last, you know, couple of years. There are a lot of people don't really care about basketball until around Christmas time anyway. Because football and hockey is already, you know, has started to build up at the time. You have other sports leagues that are either winding down. Baseball is going towards the World Series. So the basketball, with all of the games that they play, people are now tuning in around Christmas time. Oh, wow, it's Christmas. There's a triple header. There's four games on. This team. And that's when they start to pay attention.
Well, Sean, think about this. Tonight alone, you got football, basketball, hockey, and baseball going on at the same time.
Yes.
That's a rarity.
Yes.
You know.
It is.
And now that we all have all of 10 TVs. And now that we have 10 TVs in the room right now watching everything, you know.
Please, yes. You go online. Like I said, you can watch it on your phone.
Look, my remote control has gotten a workout between switching and watching the horrible Knicks and then watching the Rangers game. And then watching a little bit of wrestling, and then going back and forth and watching the Thursday night football game. So I'm back and forth, and there's tons of stuff.
What do you think I'm doing right now?
Well, let's talk about the Knicks quickly before we go. Should we be surprised that the Knicks will have another horrible season this year?
Of course
not.
I'm not
surprised at all.
There's no surprise about that.
I'm like, is there anything left the Knicks could do to rebuild themselves at all, or this is it? Or
this is a rebuilding season. We know it. They got rid of they traded Melo, got rid of the drama. So this is the fresh start that they need. You know, they're going to start building the team around Porzingis.
And
now,
go ahead.
Here's the thing. We were just talking about, you know, with ratings and the NBA. I've heard this come out of Reggie Miller's mouth years ago on David Letterman's show when he asked Reggie Miller about the ratings. And do you know what came out of Miller's mouth? He's like, the NBA needs the Knicks to be good again.
Oh,
now, coming from that coming out of Reggie Miller's mouth, who killed us how many times? In the playoffs? I think that's good for itself.
Listen, almost any sport right now, like, for example, the World Series or hockey, you need a New York team. Because, once again, in New York teams, especially Knicks, well, back then, not now, either you love us or you hate us, but you got to watch us. That's why the New York Yankees back then, people hated the Yankees because it was winning playoffs time after time, so we got a lot of haters then. So that's why you got to love New York teams. Even though
New York and Los Angeles, the two biggest markets in the country. If you're
yes,
going to have ratings, if you're going to get maximum ratings, one or both teams, preferably both, have to be good. And we've heard about this before, many facets. When there was the dip in the NBA's ratings, there was during the time when the Knicks were trying to find themselves. They didn't know how good they were. Then they got Carmelo Anthony, and then they got all the other players that were adding to the team. And they went on like maybe a 2 or 3 year span. When they were going to the playoffs and they looked like they were going to do well. And then the last 3 or 4 years, it's been up in the air, injuries, et cetera. So you have to have a New York team and or a Los Angeles team. Because let's be honest, the Lakers have been terrible the last few since Kobe retired. And even with Kobe, they were terrible.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, the sports edition. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, I'm the Hot Rod with Sean Black, Phil Fisher, and K-Dog. And tune in Monday night to another crazy edition where we talk about Sean's favorite president in the whole wide world, Mr. Number 45 himself. Go ahead, Sean. Say his name.
Not today.
Good night, everyone. As always,
good night. Good night, you guys. And
good night, guys.
Good night, guys, and be safe.
Yes.
Be safe.